We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What better way to celebrate Arsenal's march back to supremacy than with a little reflection on the last time we did it? This is the Arsenal Vision post-match podcast. My name is Elliot Smith. You can block me on Twitter, Yankee Gunner. You're not going to hear much from me today. This is a short episode featuring Tim's interview with Gabriel, the co-director of the Invincibles movie that is now out. I believe it's now out, has just come out or is about to come out. You know what? All this professional research stuff I'm doing is getting a little overwhelming, so we'll leave it with that. It's a nice 20-minute interview covering a lot of interesting topics. What I can say about the movie is I find it to be more revealing than the Arsene Wenger book. I think it probes some areas that will be really interesting to people who lived through that period, people who didn't live through that period, people who are not nostalgic for the past, people who are. I just think it is an interesting piece of filmmaking and a fascinating bit of insight. So I'll turn it over to Tim and Gabriel. Enjoy the interview.
Gabriel, thanks so much for joining us. My first question, you've recently made documentaries about Sir Bobby Robson, really, really moving one about Jack Charlton as well last year. What made you want to do give Arsene Wenger the documentary treatment next?
Well, nice to see you, and thanks very much for having me. The reason was I just think I've always thought he's a fascinating subject. Ever since I was confronted with him in the tunnel after a game in what had been 98, 99 when we were doing Champions League with ITV, and then throughout that period, really, especially up to 2004-05, when you met this erudite, urbane, intelligent, pleasant, interesting, interested manager who was different to what was in the game and what had been in the game at that time in football. And I'd always been a Francophile, I think, anyway, in my football upbringing. I'd always had close contacts with France, so maybe that was a personal link. And I asked Bob Wilson, who was at ITV at that time. We talked a lot about Arsene, what his secrets were and what he was doing. So around 98, 99, 2000, after they won the double, what about doing a documentary? I'd love to do a documentary on Arsene. And Bob asked Arsene for me. And the answer came back, I'm not vain enough to do a documentary. And there's no way back on that, really, because you think, yeah, okay, so it's not money. It's not airtime. It's not what the story is. It's, I've got other things to be doing. Thank you very much. So when my friend, Christian Jean-Pierre, who I'd known since the early 90s doing Champions League with TF1, came to me and we'd kept in touch, and Christian worked with Arsene Wenger for TF1 in all those summers covering the Euros and the World Cups. Arsene would go off, he'd leave Arsenal and go and do a Euros or a World Cup with TF1, busman's holiday. And we'd meet and we'd talk about things. Christian came to me. Yeah, so it would have been sort of summer of 2020. I think Arsene might be willing to do a documentary now. And we had a chat. And in a long-winded way of saying, I've always been fascinated by his story, and this was an opportunity to tell it.
Yeah, and that's kind of preempted my what was going to be my next question, which was about kind of, I guess, the process of this going from concept to reality. But when you first spoke to Arsene about this then, and you broached it with him, I guess, personally, what was his reaction? Did you get the sense, because I think he's in very reflective mood in the film, did you get the sense that he was really ready to tell this story now?
No, I think Christian... we did a French and an English version. They follow the same narrative arc, which is my narrative arc. But Christian did more of the persuading. Christian is closer to Arsene and has a wonderful relationship with him. I suppose my relationship is more based around filmmaking and the journalistic side of it. But we obviously talked about what would be in the film and the Invincible season. You have to pick somewhere to begin and end to a degree. And, that was obviously a wonderful season with some incredible narrative points in it, which I already knew. The Battle of Old Trafford, the game against Liverpool at Highbury, lots of different elements to it. We discussed that with Arsene, but we also made it clear that it wasn't just going to be a greatest goals in the Arsene Wenger era film. It was going to be something that tried to get to the heart of Arsene. It would involve going to Dudleyheim. It would involve filming with him in London. It would involve him looking back at games and reflecting in a way that, with distance, he was able to do that he hadn't done before.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll come back on one of those points later. And there are some lovely shots of him in his home village, as he says himself in the film, not town, village. Some really intimate shots. But there are three things that really stuck out when I watched this documentary. So my next three questions will kind of focus on them. The first one, I guess, most superficially is the cast list. So you don't just get Arsene Wenger. There's Patrick Vieira. There's Dennis Bergkamp. There's Thierry Henry, Robert Pires. There's even Alex Ferguson. How much work was required to get not just Arsene, because obviously that's the kind of the centerpiece of the documentary, but how much work was required to persuade some of those luminaries, as it were?
Well, Christian has really good contacts with Patrick Vieira. We did Thierry Henry quite late in the process. It required some work. But, one of the other things about this is that, you know, a lot of the subjects involved have their own documentaries they may want to tell one day. Mm. So you do get into that preservation of my territory. But once explained that this was Arsene's definitive documentary film, the first that he'd made, and it was based around that Invincible season, that time to begin with, for the likes of Thierry and Dennis Bergkamp and Robert Pires, it was a natural step to take. With Sir Alex, I've managed to maintain good relationships with him since he retired. He contributed to the Sir Bobby Robson film, and you don't want to over request. And I wasn't sure whether he would do an interview for this film, but I think the way in which he was aware also that this was Arsene's film. It wasn't a film about Arsene, it was Arsene's film. And so I think once he knew that, he was able to get a sense that, yeah, okay, this is going to be definitive, and therefore, for it to be as definitive as possible, I have to be in it. And Sir Alex has a good picture in that sense. He's not somebody who's going to be any more doing interviews a great deal of the time, so he's very selective. But I really appreciated the fact that, and I'm sure Arsene does, the fact that he contributed in the way that he does.
And I guess a two-pronged question again about Sir Alex's involvement in it. First of all, how much of a coup was that? How satisfying was that when you got the green light from Alex Ferguson? And just to kind of piggyback on that question, did you sense, because I sensed watching the documentary, as you say, this is Arsene's film, so Sir Alex is, obviously the relationship between the two of them has softened over the years. And, you know, you can tell with Sir Alex that this is Arsene's film. He's talking about Arsene. But with Arsene, there were a couple of flickers where I almost felt that tension again. There's a lovely line where he says, oh, yeah, everyone in England was scared of him, the press, the referees. And when he refers to the Battle of Old Trafford, he says Van Nistelrooy made a meal of it, of course. And you still feel, I think, some of those resentments resurface, whereas obviously in Sir Alex, you don't really get that as much. So I guess how much of a coup was it to get Sir Alex? And did you sense a flicker of the old rivalry there at all when you were making this?
It was wonderful for Sir Alex to agree to contribute, and we're really grateful. So I don't know if it's a coup, but I think, you know, you justify that by the final product, and I hope that he's pleased with it too. I think in terms of rivalry, I'm not sure. I think I also got a sense from Sir Alex, and he, you know, Sir Alex does come back in that Battle of Old Trafford. He does say, well, Vieira tried to kick out at him. So they're literally these two guys reliving. They've still got the photograph in their heads. You know, he says, well, Patrick tried to kick out at him. All right, he didn't touch him, but he tried to kick out at him. So they're all, yeah, they're still defending their players. You know, they're still fighting that battle, which is wonderful, isn't it? I mean, in that sense.
Yeah.
They're still not going to give way on who they felt was the better team. But obviously, Sir Alex, in Arsene's film, is asked to talk about Arsene and does wonderfully. But yeah, I still think if they were sat here now, they'd be reliving those moments and still defending their players to the hilt. You know, that's what they did.
Yeah, and that comes out beautifully in the documentary with the players as well. You know, his, like Arsene, defending them
to the hilt.
Yeah, like a very paternal figure.
And he learned that, I think, from Sir Alex too.
Mm.
I think it's something he saw in Sir Alex and the Manchester United teams. And Arsenal had to find that. They had a wonderful spine in 98 and a wonderful team. But then, as you know, they ebbed and flowed a bit too much. They choked on occasions.
Mm.
And so by 2004, they had to find what Manchester United had consistently, which wasn't just talent and the ability to win games and cups. It was to fight and to be physical. And Arsene relished that. And that team had that extra dimension, which was that physical, the physical ability to intimidate opponents and the mental strength that goes with ultimate winners. They had that, and Arsene built to that point. But he learned a lot of those elements and saw a lot of those elements in the teams that Ferguson built.
And one of the second thing that really struck me about the film, I guess more from a construction point of view, is some of the archive footage. There's archive footage in there, both of Arsene's hometown, you know, photos of his childhood, but also archive footage from his early days at Arsenal that I've never seen. And I thought I'd seen everything that was out there.
Well, that's good to hear. And that's our job, you know, as documentary makers. And it has to be a standard you set yourself to find something new. And I mean, one of the big discoveries for us was the moving footage of Arsene on the steps at Highbury.
Yeah.
Where he's, you know, where he's being chased out of town to a degree, and the incredible way he dealt with that very difficult situation. So it was wonderful to find those pictures, and yeah, other material too, which I think, as much as you always want more, there was some great behind the scenes material at Highbury, I think, we were able to uncover, and that's thanks as well to Arsenal, I think, to Arsenal Football Club, and to our researchers. Producer Andy Lynch did a brilliant job, and you've got to get that. And for people like yourself, Tim, who feel they know the story inside out, if you're able to tell me that you're hearing and seeing new stuff, that's great news.
Yeah, and I'll come on to that theme as well, actually, in my last question. But the third thing that really struck me about this whole documentary was the candor of everyone involved, because even, you know, when particularly in the part where discussing Arsene's final years at Arsenal and Thierry, Patrick, they're obviously there, you know, I guess in reverence, but they don't pull any punches in their criticism of him. And for the first time ever, I think you really hear Arsene, like, he says things I've never heard him say before. So when he discusses the contract he signed in 2007, he said, "I still sometimes wonder if that was the right decision." And the other line that really jumps out, which was a common criticism of him, was, "I should have delegated more." And so you get him in this really, really reflective mood and almost confessional. And of course, he talks about confession and religion and his upbringing and things like that. did you get a sense that that he was ready to do that, or did that come as, I guess, a pleasant surprise to you making this?
I just think, we interviewed Arsene three times. So we did it over the course of 3 days. Not long each day, but long enough. And I believe in this idea that if you come prepared, you've got more chance. So you've got to know what you want to try and get, I think. Especially with somebody like Arsene, when you know there's so much out there already in the public domain. So you know, there are areas that I certainly wanted to try and go into, which I felt hadn't been explored before. He hadn't really spoken about before. I do think his family, for instance, and some of the relationships there, but also, the end at Arsenal and the way that worked, that unraveled, however you want to put it. I do think he was responsive to that line of questioning. Not immediately, but certainly I think a lot of that came on in the third interview day. And I think he's just able to be, with time, more self-critical, I think, and able to reflect that, having heard other people, having extracted himself from the environment he'd been in for 22 years, maybe this was the first time he'd really spoken about it at length. And so, therefore, that time enabled us to get more from him. Not that we had, we didn't have oodles of time here, and it was COVID restricted, of course. And, he's a very busy man, as you know, doing his job now out there in the big bad world of world football. So we had to ensure that when we were with him, we were sharp. And hopefully, maybe that reflected on him too, that he was sharp in return. And it's great to hear you say that, because, you don't want the perception of a film like this to be, when you look at the title, Arsene Wenger Invincible, there we are, the halcyon days, everything's great, wasn't it wonderful? It wasn't like that. It's not a simple story. And therefore, the film can't be a simple, straightforward story either.
Yeah, it's definitely no hagiography. And, he even criticizes himself as a husband and a father at points, which is sometimes like a bit of a difficult watch, but in a good way. Another thing that really, I guess, jumped out at me as someone very familiar with Arsene is I forgot what a great orator he is. And I went to a lot of those AGMs that he rescued by picking up a microphone and talking. And I took a pen and paper and wrote down some of my favorite lines from this. So he says, women kill for love, men kill because they hate to lose. He says towards the end, it's not the ball that unites people. There's something bigger that makes them want to be together. Like, very typical Arsene. And the one that kind of jumped out at me the most, Highbury is my soul, the Emirates is my suffering. Great, great lines. And I don't want to say spin a line. That's not what I really mean. But I mean, there are so many pearls from him that really center this documentary. Is that what you expected?
I think Arsene, this is one of goes back to your initial point about why did you want to make a documentary about Arsene Wenger? Because he has a way with words, and this is his third language, French, German, English. So he is a wonderful orator. He likes to speak, and he understands the English language wonderfully now and knows how it works and knows the poetry, I think, that's possible, especially when it comes to football. He loves talking about football, and football is in his soul. So you really hope for that sort of thing. Yeah, I just think he's one of those guys that likes to talk football, and if you can make it poetic or encourage him to be poetic, sow the seed of something in his head about how people think about something, he'll build on that for you. Mm-hmm. So that's just his talent, and I think it's an innate talent. And when you're making a documentary or doing an interview, you want your subject, don't you, to elevate it, to build on what your ideas are. And I think at times that's been the great thing about making this film, is that, there was so much in it that was rich in terms of what Arsene said and that you just like to hear. And whether you're an Arsenal fan or not, or a football fan, or just you like a good story, that's why I hope this story will appeal. It's not just for Arsenal fans, it's for lovers of film as well, because there are elements in it that are just universal about aspiration, human frailty, flaw, tragic flaw, things that prevent you from seeing the truth in yourself, all those bigger themes that whatever documentary you're making or story you're telling work as pillars, and hopefully we've got those in there.
Yeah, and I won't throw a spoiler in, but he really goes into that at the end as well, everything you're talking about there. I'm going to do what most interviewers shouldn't do and insert myself into the story before asking a question. But so I guess my relationship with Arsenal and Arsene Wenger, throughout the time that he was Arsenal manager, I was in the stadium for about 90% of the games during his reign. So and I write about the club. Season ticket holder, away season ticket holder, my family, my wife all support the club. He took over when I was 12 and left when I was 34, you know, the very formative years of my life. Like, I felt like I knew Arsene Wenger, even though I didn't. And to be honest, after he left, right up until now, I've been in Wenger detox mode. And the reason for that is because it became so rancorous and unpleasant in the last couple of years that I stopped enjoying going to games, because every game was just a massive argument between thousands of people about Arsene Wenger. And right up until now, I haven't really sought out his interviews or Wenger content or anything like that. I got about halfway through his book, quite frankly. And I've still just thought that I need a little bit more distance. I just need a little bit more time to appreciate, you know, the good times and all of that. So when I was kind of, I guess, confronted with this task of watching this documentary and doing this interview, I was kind of thinking, okay, am I actually going to enjoy this, or is this going to reveal a bit of scar tissue? But for me, I felt like, not to be over dramatic, it felt like a cleansing of a lot of that. And just hearing him say certain things I'd not heard him say before, and to talk about his father and his family and things like that was, I found it quite therapeutic, actually. And I guess my question on the back of that ramble, to wrap up, is how did you deal with telling a story where it's still quite recent and the details of it are mostly quite familiar? And it didn't end that long ago, 3.5 years ago. Did that come into your thinking at any point? Or did you just think, nope, this is a story that needs to be told. I think I can get the people that tell it.
Yeah, I think you've just got to aim high, haven't you? And try your best with that. Without a shadow of a doubt, the film's structures around the Invincible season, but it's framed in a broader sense from beginning to end. You know, we had wonderful footage, which people haven't seen before, of Arsene on his final day at the Emirates, behind the scenes. Mm. You know, and nobody's seen that. They've seen him on the pitch saying goodbye, but they haven't seen the Arsene up the tunnel waiting to be serenaded. And of course, he didn't enjoy that experience whatsoever. So I think it's when you get footage like that, and you get all the A-list that you want, you've got to ask the questions. You've got to go into that territory that might be difficult. It might be recent. But I think it's definitive. I'd like to think so. At the moment, you know, we're as far along in the story as we are. Things might change in the future. There may be a happy ending. You know, he might come back to the Emirates. Who knows? But, I think that it was beholden upon us to update it as much as we possibly could, and ensure that Arsene said as much about the way it ended as he was able to, along with, of course, relishing that incredible achievement.
Gabriel, thanks so much for your time. And again, just to say, really enjoyed the film. Fantastic achievement, I think, both as a sports film and as a piece of cinema as well. So thank you very much for your time.
Tim, thank you very much. Great to talk to you.
Okay, that'll do it, with the sounds of Baby Shark ringing in the background as my daughter watches it on her little Kindle Fire tablet. My other daughter's getting ready for school. I will return to familial duties. We will be back with a rewatch for patrons tomorrow, and main pod on Thursday once again, and special guests lined up for that as well. We'll try to have a lot of fun during the international break, celebrating Arsenal just being generally great again, which is super. Our rivals maybe being less than great, which is just as fun, and all kinds of other good stuff along with it. So I hope you're doing well. Enjoy your Tuesday if you're listening to this on Tuesday. But if you're not listening to this on Tuesday, important, enjoy the day in which you are listening to this, or you know what, just enjoy all your days. I hope you enjoy all your days. That'll do it. Why don't I step aside? We love you, and we'll talk to you after Arsenal 10, Liverpool 0.